Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest, musical legend, and that's not hyperbole. Mike Watt is considered to be one of the best punk rock bass players of all time and one of the strongest voices that's ever represented the musical form. Watt rose to prominence with his band, the Minutemen, a trio out of San Pedro, California. The band was an integral part of the California punk community and was known for their quick, econo-sized songs like this great track, Corona. That track was also used as a theme song for the MTV show Jackass. The Minutemen's career was tragically cut short in 1985 when guitarist Dee Boone died in a car accident. The band broke up and Watt moved on to start Firehose. He also had a tremendous solo career. He's collaborated with pretty much every big name in alternative music, and he's even played bass in the reunion for the Stooges. Mike Watt is back in town touring with the Meat Puppets. The bass player and spiritual leader of American punk rock is in studio with me tonight at the big table. Mike Watt, thanks for being here.
Justin, thanks for having me aboard. Dee Boone wrote that song, Corona. They wrote the better ones.
When you think about coming through Chicago, I mean, you have so many memories of coming through this
area. I was conceived in this town. There's a boot camp, right, Lakeshore, where the sailors.
Yeah, right.
And
Great
my
Lakes,
ma, yeah. She's Wyoming, but the coal town shut down, so they moved to Peoria. And a big, people don't know on the port and starboard sides that the big town for the Midwest is here.
Yeah.
So she moves here, and the Soviets came into Hungary. So there was refugees, and there was a dance at a YMCA benefit, and that's where they met. And she gave me the address when I was helping. I did 125 months with the Stooges, and they recorded an album here with Mr. Albini, Electrical Audio.
Of course, yeah.
He let me use his bicycle. I went to that address, and I got her on the leash. Hey, Ma, there it is. Hey, Michael Watt, you was conceived there. Now, I was born in Virginia, but 9 years old. I go to California because it's closer to Vietnam.
I mean, I thought it would all be stories about playing Metro or whatever, but I guess that story's even better.
That's a lot of gigs there.
Well, I mean, Chicago's is
all
known.
My gigs were there for many years.
Yeah.
There was one crazy one at something called the West End. An ex-cop owned it. He waved his gun and tore up. They told me he's on a 3-day chocho binge and tore up the thing. Yeah. But they were all there. Joe Shanahan,
yeah.
Right?
But, yeah. I mean, you just mentioned Steve Albini. I mean, Chicago has such a rich punk rock history here.
Yeah.
I mean, do you recognize that? I mean, for what Chicago...
Yeah, big time, yeah. Big time. It's called Big Shoulders, right? And that's true. Especially when you tour, you know, I'm kind of from before the movement.
Right.
Vaudeville and work in the towns. And this is an important... I think that's why it even got going. It's a hub. The Great Lakes probably was a big thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Erie Canal, Andy Jackson hated it, right? The first big public works. But it put the Atlantic Ocean. It connected the whole country. And that's what I kind of do. I work
around
the towns.
Yeah.
And this is the big center daddy. Like there's a port one in SoCal, right? And then there's the Apple. Okay.
Let's go back to the 80s. Even the late 70s. The Minutemen, and you think all the bands that we hear now, punk rock bands, the seminal bands of that everyone listening tonight knows, they'll say, you know what? And who inspired me? The Minutemen. So I have a question for you, Mike.
Yeah.
Who inspired you guys? Who were the bands you were listening to when the Minutemen started?
You know, because we're 70s punk, so we're a little before the hardcore. Not like we're better, just the way the hand was dealt. We graduated high school in 76. And we're from arena rock, right? Me and Dee Boone's first gig is T-Rex. We're 14 and never been in a club. So all we knew was kind of records and or something where you sat way in the distance and there was little lights and a lot of Namota smoke kind of covered it and bad sound. I didn't even know what a bass was. His mother puts me on it. It's arena rock bands at first. When I met D Boone, the only rock band he knew was Creedence Clearwater Revival, which is kind of how I got into flannels, because I looked at the singer's shirt and I thought maybe he'll still like me if I wear those shirts. So Blue Oyster Cult, you know, it was the guys, they were like the most difficult guy we could figure out. Because you copied records in those days. You didn't think of music as a way of expressing yourself. It's something you did with your friend, like building models. Right. Yeah. But you go to a club. I remember the first punk gig. We saw the Bags in Hollywood, West Hollywood, the whiskey. First thing that fell out of my mouth, we can do that. And then we started seeing the bands. And yeah, we had favorites, you know, the Germs, still Bags, X. I mean, some of these bands didn't even have guitars, you know. It was kind of reactionary.
Yeah.
And the way I mean reactionary is like we come from arena rock and we want to.
Right.
Now, serving with the Stooges, I understand in the 60s there was a huge garage scene and independent labels and clubs. But this weird thing came in the 70s, right? The Nuremberg Rally's way of doing gigs. And we all like the one thing and we're all small. And it wasn't that empowering. Especially with the bass guitar overseas, Jack Bruce, Scotland, and England, they weren't afraid to put the bass loud on the record so I could hear it. John Entwistle, even guys like Pete Quaife or Chas Chandler, you know, Animals and Kinks, Geezer Butler, over on this side, R&B and Motown. James Jamerson, incredible inspiration for me. Larry Graham, you know, in Sly's band.
Yeah.
And part of this was, D Boone, you know, a lot of people think it was words. And D Boone called that thinking out loud. He said the politics of how we put the band together. There was a hierarchy with arena rock. The guitar and singers ran in.
Yeah.
The other guys were like right field in Little League, you know, where nobody hits the ball. D Boone wanted to bring us in.
Right.
So from the brothers doing the little trebly rhythm guitar, making room for the bass.
I have so many questions about the bass because I've read so much about your beginning days of trying to figure out the instrument. You know,
had no idea.
Even tuning was
we thought down on the corner. If you played it and sounded right, you were in tune. But we didn't know you're down in a corner had to be the other dudes. So we thought some dudes like loose strings, like the tight.
Right.
Some guys liked it loose because we couldn't hear. The music's more accessible now. It was like kind of a hidden thing in those days.
But you hear this all the time, especially when you talk about bass players in punk music. They will learn four chords they have to play, and they'll play it as fast and as furious as they possibly can.
Yeah.
What I love about your play and the Minutemen and even Firehose and everything in between is there is rhythm to it. There is a soul to it. You can hear that Sly or the Motown kind of vibe on it. It's essentially a different kind of bass than punk music is used to.
Well, a lot of them guys that came up right then started playing. I was a little polluted. That's what we thought at first. Look, Justin, I got to tell you, we really thought it was stupid. We spent all them years never writing a song, never using music for expression. And these guys just learning, they weren't afraid. They were doing it in public. They were taking turns. You know, Pat Smear would be standing next to you after they got done. It wasn't arena rock, man.
It was just a
whole nother thing. It was a very empowering thing. Like, come on. Understand, we're boys in the 60s. And the TV, we're seeing people in the street. You know, there's this free speech and civil right and the war.
Mm-hmm.
By the 70s come, it was all over, you know. And I think it stuck us. So this little weird movement, and there must have been 200 of them that all meet up in Hollywood, right? So you understand, SoCal, it's 150 towns. You fly over, you think it's one, but it ain't. We don't know each other.
Right.
The valley, the harbor. But we didn't know each other. We didn't know anything. But that was kind of neat. The one thing that kept us in common, Stooges.
Really?
The
Stooges did.
That's what everyone knew. That was lingua franca.
Oh, interesting. Mike Watts, my guest in studio, the legendary bass player for the Minutemen, Firehose, of course, his solo career, also playing with the Stooges. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation. Mike Watt in studio. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, Mike Watt, the legendary bass player for the Minutemen, Firehose, his solo career, the Stooges. I mean, you collaborated with so many different musicians. I mean, you play on so many different records.
You know the politics of bass. You look good making the other cats look good. I like those pops.
That's it, right?
Or look at it this way. You're glue. And what's glue with nothing to stick to? A puddle. And, you know, I learned this by doing it with my friend. You know, music, I was not a musician. I just wanted to be with him.
Yeah.
And then this scene was open enough to let
Do you still see, I mean, we're talking 30, 35 years in the business now.
The racket.
Do you consider, yourself a musician, or are you still a revolutionary?
I got a union card for many years, AFM Local 47. Yeah, I've learned things about the music, but the way I got into it was very personal. I tell you, I feel really part of vaudeville tradition, working rooms. And my hustle is bass, and even if it's my band, I'm behind them, backing them up. I'm really grateful to D. Boone's mom because I didn't pick it.
And I think about it, too, because you guys, as you talked about, you watch people just get up there and do it.
Yeah, it's very
important. And it took a while for you guys to figure it out, but when you did and you started to make music, you're one of those bands that in the time was very influential, but your influence grew even after you were gone. You know, as you moved on to other bands and other solo careers, Minutemen became bigger and bigger and bigger to this day, where people think will say they'll get up on stage and accept an award and say, "I want to thank the Minutemen." Yeah. Talk about that.
I think the story of D. Boone, tragic. You know, we lost him young, and I think D. Boone, the way I saw it, he was like potential. You know, he said you didn't have to look like something. You didn't have to. It was never a style of music to us. Yeah, it was more of a state of mind.
Right.
And I think D. Boone showed that, you know. You want to get your guitar, your drummer, your bass, your synthesizer, or your microphone, and go do it wherever you came from, wherever. A lot of stuff, you know, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at, Rakim said, right? And he's so right in a way. A lot of that stuff we don't choose. We're dealt a hand. Even D. Boone, his work ethic was so intense, and I think that got on people. Also, this afraid not to sound strange, that the little songs, mm-hmm. I got it from an England band called Wire. The idea of putting pop group with the pop group, they put Beefheart with Funkadelic. Why? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bands overseas we never saw, we only knew them by records, they were a big influence too. Even more abstract, because you didn't see it happen. It was just sounds.
The Econo sound.
The sounds.
Yeah, right.
But we still thought, if you're going to be part of this movement, you got to bring something to it. And I think that's what D. Boone said. Because look, we're born all different. You can look at all the thumb. But at the same time, we have so much in common. So that's it, that dangling duality. Everybody's had something in school with getting picked on for some not fitting in. You know, you hear the worst word in my knowledge is called normal. Because what is normal? It means relatively to the sitch, right?
That can be so
dangerous. And a man or a woman, or somebody stands up like D. Boone, I think that resonates in people.
Were you ready for that? I mean, as
no,
a
I just
of,
wanted to be just... him, with him. I was scared so bad, but you were on stage with him. It was like the bow of the boat. I really compare their work ethics. Yeah. When it came time to play, D. Boone didn't think big time like he was better than other people and stuff, but now it's time for me to play the guitar and sing. And I'm going to let you know what's going on up here. And,
were you afraid to express yourself politically, to express yourself, to be a part of a
revolution? No, because of that 60s stuff.
You were okay with that.
I think we came out of a 60s tradition, even though we were boys. I'm born in 57. We are. A farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So we came out of that. The country had to deal with stuff. It still has to deal with stuff, right? The thing ain't done. We're a work in progress.
I was reading an article, I think it was back in 2004, and this was right around, it was right after 9/11, George W. Bush. And you talked about how a lot of kids were essentially trying to figure out, they couldn't figure out that they were being hustled.
Yeah.
That's where punk music, that's where the punk aesthetic comes from, is how do you express yourself? Where do you go when you feel like you're being scammed, where you feel like you're being hustled? This was 2004, but it applies today. It applies in 27. It applies back in 1977. I mean, it applies. I mean, that's an ethos. That's sort of almost a philosophy for punk.
Things get co-opted. I mean, Pat Boone sold many more little Tutti Frutti's than Little Richard. But, you know, he said his version was for the bedroom and maybe Pat's was for the living room. People are running hustles, you know, and then there's other people who are really trying to use arts as a fabric to connect, you know, like an interesting flannel.
Right,
all them
right,
threads, right? That's the way I look at it. I think that's why there's more than one band.
Well, I mean, the punk aesthetic, the concept of we're not heard. Or we want to find a way to express ourselves. And it always it seems to...
We don't fit in, so why not a parallel universe?
Right.
At the end of the day is the humanity that you share, the cat on the street. What's it going to be? I got to tell you, this tour, I can't believe the driving. And everywhere. And the country's angry.
Well, I want to talk. I mean, it's amazing to me you're driving everywhere. I mean...
Well, Scotty ain't got the transporter room fixed yet.
Mike Watt, my guest in studio. You know, it's amazing to think about the fact that you've had such a tremendous career working with such tremendous musicians. And you mentioned right at the beginning of this segment about the bass being the glue.
Yeah.
As a collaborator, as someone who can jump into other people's music or work really quick, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if in a day's time we find out Mike Watt's working with another musician. You know,
yeah.
What is your philosophy when it comes to working with other musicians as a bass player? Is there a certain thing that has to be there before you decide to work with somebody?
Well, one thing is, you know, all these bad new days, right? Well, the internet can let you collaborate with people like you could never do in the
really?
The good old days.
Just because you can send stuff back.
That's right, man. Right. I've made albums with guys I've never even met. you know, hey,
right.
Here's some sounds. What you want to? And here's my basic thing. It's the main point of my third opera, Life's for Learning. Just stay a student. And one way to really lame it out is think you know it all.
Yeah.
And then you're in big trouble.
Then you're in trouble, right?
See, so everybody's got something to teach you. And the funny thing about bass is the physics, because we got real big wavelengths. So the more notes you play, the littler you get. So it's always a search for the right notes. That means some guy just learning or woman learning how to play can write a happening bass line. I was really happy to see Stanley Clarke in an interview said anybody could do a bass solo that's writing a good bass line.
Yeah, right.
That's Stanley Clarke.
Who,
when he was a younger man, Atlantic Records or somebody set him up with Charles Mingus, and Charles Mingus wanted to show him, take the A train.
Wow. I don't need to learn
take the A train. I don't think he would be saying that now.
No,
and that's what that means. He's in learning mode. Stanley Clarke is incredible, a virtuoso.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a situation where I'm in the classroom. Remember when we're younger, finally we're going to graduate? No, don't think that, because it's actually a paradigm for the whole dealio.
Mike Watt, my guest in studio, the longtime legendary punk rock bass player of the Minutemen, Firehose, his own stuff, of course. He's just in town with the Meat Puppets. We'll talk more with Mike Watt right after the news here on The Download on The Big Table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, Mike Watt, the legendary punk rock bass player, Minutemen, Firehose, The Stooges, his own work, of course. You see him
Jay Maskus, Portal for Pirates.
I mean, we don't have enough time to list
all
the projects.
No, but I toured with him, guys, and that's the first time I really helped the guys by touring with him. And you learn the way other people tour.
Did you learn stuff? I mean, about touring from with some of the more contemporary musicians?
Yeah, you learn that maybe your way ain't the only way. And Jammy Cano is maybe not for everybody. Like even with the Meat Puppets this tour, they had 3 days off. Right, vaudeville. When you ain't playing, you're paying.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You can get Mr. Ibsen, right? Enemy of the People. You can get a little full of yourself. You got to watch out.
Is there a time that you think, I mean, here you are, you're driving through. I mean, you're driving in a van. Is there a time where you slow down? Do you change your, as you learn more about being a musician, do you change the way you approach
You do get music? Less younger. We get rid of the old word, right? There's more younger and less younger.
Right.
So your body, you got to adjust. I remember I did the 71 gigs, 56 in a row. I don't think I could do that now, so maybe they're littler chunks. Being California, it's been a long time from Virginia, right? So maybe springtime and fall.
Yeah, right.
I'll do a summer maybe, but winter, ice, snow. You know what I mean? You pick your fights. I think you're a little smarter about picking your fights.
You have such an attachment to the music and to your instrument. There was a well-documented case where you got sick in the 2000 where you were
that's where
infection.
I got my second opera out of.
Yeah, right. I mean, but it was a moment where you were close to death.
Yeah.
You weren't able to, even after the fact, you had to retrain
yourself tubes in me.
To play the bass. You had to retrain yourself to use your hands.
But what happened because of that? Yeah, I didn't play for 6 months. It's the first time I had to stop playing since D. Boone's mom put me on bass because of the tubes. And I lost it. I thought it was like the bike ride thing, you know? I had no rhythm. I had no strength. So I start practicing the Stooges, the first two albums, over and over again. And it came back. And who knows, you know, that calling 3 years later from Ig in Tallahassee, Bonnie says, "You're the man." He said, "Would you wear a T-shirt instead of a flannel?" Yeah, don't worry. I said, "That's John Fogerty's idea anyway." I said, "What about Levi and Flat Converse?"
Yeah.
He says, "That's strong."
That's okay.
Yeah, that's strong. But I couldn't believe this, you know?
Right. What a full circle to think that the Stooges connected the punk rock community in California and New York to it being the way that you got
back
on the bass.
Notice this out of the Midwest, though. the tastemakers ain't always.
Yeah, right.
Right? That's an important lesson to learn there.
Of course, of course. I should know that being in Chicago.
I know, right? I know. I just want to give credit where credit's due. There's something about, you know, not so front. I like the Midwest thing. This is what I mean. Like Missouri, it says show me, right? You got to show me.
Right.
There's no wrong with that.
For you, I mean, music's obviously your way of your life. I mean, and you've become not only a musician but a spokesperson. You've been, in a way, a lecturer in the way that you talk about the aesthetics of punk rock, and you talk about...
Because I don't want to die. I don't want to be a museum piece. It's a way of doing things. I come from that tradition. I don't want it to die. So I talk about it. And notice I don't tell you how to do it, because I think everybody's got their way. There's, I got a radio show.
Of course.
Yeah. Right? The Waffle Pedro show.
Yep. Back in Pedro, right?
Right. And they're all archived and stuff. And I feel it's a debt. I owe the movement because I don't play Mersh stuff. It's stuff that's happening, right? I start everyone with the John Coltrane song, but he said something. He said, music people are after some kind of truth. And I like that. And that's what I try to get through with the movement.
What's your truth? What are you after?
Some kind of truth.
I side
with Mr. Coltrane.
Right.
No, I mean, is like it's hard to pin the nail, but I do think there's something about the humanity that you can share with your fellow cat that you meet on the street. And, on the other hand, there's a creative, the artistic thing. Raymond Pettibone, big hero of mine. The arts, you know, Debussy could paint. He didn't go to the school, but arts have always interested me. The way you can express yourself to get things off. Also, the creative thing, because making life interesting is kind of happening.
Talk about the personal, of course, losing your friend in 1985.
Yeah.
We go back 30 years, 32 years to talk about it, but you still talk about it like he's here today.
Yeah.
His impact on you as a musician, as a friend, as a human being.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Talk about what it means to have him in your life, D. Boone, and also what you keep with you as you continue on this journey to find truth.
Well, he had certain kind of ethics I really admire. He wanted to walk the walk. I just talk the talk, you know what I mean? It seems like a lot of jive back then, and the thing us humans always got to deal with, and... Yeah, how are we living? How healthy are we? How safe are we? And how can we be creative about this and make it so when you hear that song, you know it's from him or her or something. He had integrity, you know, and it made a big impression. And, you know, I get doubts, but that momentum, there's a momentum from there. I can't tell you, Justin, like, I talk to him. Now, I do ask him things, but he never answers me. I guess he wants me to think about it. I don't know. So he tried his hardest.
Yeah.
He tried his hardest and didn't want to be jived, didn't want to get something over on somebody. That if you dug it, okay, give me another shot.
How much does it mean to you that 32 years later?
Yeah.
He's continued to talk to be talked about. He's a legend. People are writing about him. They're covering music. They're looking at him as a source of inspiration. We're talking about him. Yeah. What does it mean to you that his legacy continues?
He made impressions not just on Watt, although he made a big one on Watt. I'm very grateful for people. They didn't put him in a glass box somewhere. They make him part of life. You hear. People talk like, yeah, what would he do? What would he do? Like, I think about that. Yeah, what would you do? All the time, about all kinds of things. So that's how you keep them here and not away. You know, a dynamic, things for things to live, because we only got, right, our shift's only so long, right? And we got to let the next one come on. And there was the last one that we draw on. Being in the dynamic, that's a trip. And that's something you could do. Losing people's heart.
Yeah.
Brother Chris.
Yeah. You guys shared a label?
Yeah. Chris, and I tell you, every time I was with him, he was just beautiful to me. Kind cat, man.
It's a tight community when you talk about music and musicians. And you could tell by the emotion that we're hearing right now. You know, for you, as you just mentioned, you know, it's somebody's shift, then it's your shift, then it's another shift. You have found a way to carve a little spot out in the history of punk rock music and music in general.
Well, thank you.
People will know Mike Watt
thank
for generations. Boone.
Thanks, George Hurley.
But I mean, what about? I mean, when you think about that,
yeah.
And you think about all the things we've been talking about in this hour, the idea that people will remember you as well.
Well, I better live up to it. I better not like let them down. You know,
what does it mean to you? I mean, you just came in from Cleveland. I mean, you're on the road. You get back in the van. I mean, what does it mean to you that
tomorrow's
St.
Louis?
Tomorrow's that's what it means.
Double Nichols Freeway, right? I-55.
Right.
It's all connected, Justin. You know what I mean? It's almost like a big rock, and the sculptor sees the piece. He's just got to chip away the stuff. That's the way life is for me. But I better not let people down. You know, that's sometimes I get a little short, like when they're taking pictures, take too long. I'm like, oh, man, is this guy the little Lord Fauntleroy? What's this about? You know, I don't want to let people down.
Right.
Because you said there are a lot of nice things about me. I want to live up to it. Go down swinging, you know, not be jive.
Awesome to talk to you, Mike. Mike Watt, the bass player, longtime legendary punk rock bass player, Minutemen, Firehose, Stooges, his own records, and we can name 6,000 other projects that you've been involved in.
Only 6,000 more.
and here's the 6,000 more. Mike, thanks for being my guest at the Big Table. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jess.